Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm joined by Fran Ginsberg. And tonight we have a special guest sitting in our discussion. As you know, this is a discussion show, and we welcome listener participation. Tom and Melissa Gould were not able to make it today. They had a prior commitment. And Roman Karpyshko, who is a Forever Family Foundation long-term member and somebody who's very well-read, is graciously offered to sit in with us tonight. So, hi, Roman.
Hello, hello. How's everybody doing?
Everybody's doing good. And tonight's topic is visitations and communications. And I realize that these are broad terms, and we'll get into what actually they mean and how a certain phenomena might be classified as one or the other. And we welcome any of our listeners who want to join in with their interpretation or share an experience, what they consider to be a visitation or a communication. Call in and let's talk about it. Before we get started, I will turn it over to Fran to catch us up on what's happening with the foundation, and there's lots to talk about.
Okay. Yeah, we got quite a few things on my list. We're going to start off by reminding everybody to please regularly check the events page on our website. Sometimes events come up, we post them immediately, they fill up, and then there's no seats for people wanting to get on there, and then, it's just the way that it is. So, and we have a lot of things coming up in May, so I'm going to go over a few of the free things because that's really what we're kind of focused on, and educating the public and getting the message out. So for the month of May, we have coming up a Visionary Explorers group. That's our online group. It's meeting on Saturday, May 14th, and we have three afterlife discussion groups. They are also free. They're coming up, one in Minnetonka, Minnesota on May 7th. That's this Saturday, in Palm Beach County, Florida on May 21st, that's also a Saturday, and in Cold Spring Harbor, New York on 5/25, that's a Wednesday evening. We also have a super webinar scheduled for next month on Wednesday, June 1st at 9 p.m., streaming live on your computer from wherever you are, Induced After-Death Communication with Dr. Alan Botkin. If you have ever wondered if direct communication with your deceased loved ones can be facilitated, this is the webinar for you. We have limited free seat codes for members. That is the word communicate. And limited discounted seats for our non-members. The code is Botkin, as in Alan Botkin, B-O-T-K-I-N. Our annual grief retreat has enjoyed an early round of reservations for our 50 spots. Spend a weekend in a beautiful and peaceful setting with like-minded people, all learning that our loved ones are still with us. The weekend is all-inclusive and features spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, Joe Scheel, Janet Nohavik, and Joe Peretta, working alongside our other professionals and facilitators. It also includes a variety of activities and small breakout workshops, all designed to heal. Please be sure, before making your reservations, keep in mind we must maintain a no-refund policy. Also, 36 of the 50 spots have been taken mostly by attendees seeking single rooms. So we're out of on-site rooms. There are local hotels in driving distance and short driving distance of the guest house where we're having the retreat, and we have included on the events page a link to those nearby hotels. So those staying at the hotels should reserve their spaces as commuters, which does not include the room and is a greatly reduced fee. Our first annual mediumship convention is all set for the weekend of November 11th through 13th. And again, like our group retreat, we're enjoying an early round of reservations. Like our original Afterlife Conference, this is another first of its kind, a convention totally dedicated to the world of mediumship. Run by Forever Family Foundation Certified Mediums, taught by Forever Family Foundation Certified Mediums, and Spirit Communication conducted by Forever Family Foundation Certified Mediums. Reservations can be made on our website, and as always, keep in mind our no-refund policy before making your reservations. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. So anything you can send along is helpful. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Great Not-for-Profits, and WellZoo. Visit ForeverFamilyFoundation.org for all event links, information, and registration. And lastly, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at businessmembership@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Okay, Bob, back to you.
And I should mention that tonight's sponsor is Transitions LLC 23. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. So we're talking about visitations and communications, and, you know, it depends on how we would define that. A visitation, some things seem to be obvious, like a dream visit that should be under visitations. Apparitions, seeing a deceased loved one visually. Communications, we talk about things like electronic voice phenomena, signs, hearing voices, smells, physical manifestations. Maybe that's communication. But when you think about it, what do you think about, in a broad sense, any discarnate communication could be viewed as a communication, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, we like to classify these things, but we're talking about evidence that we survive physical death.
So I said it before, I'm going to say it again. We have to stop classifying things and just accept it as it is. They're communicating with us, and we should be communicating back with them.
Yeah.
Well, I think some of the sensitivities that some people have are more prone to be able to see or to have appearances in dreams. Or even, you know, animals, for example, sometimes can, you know, behave in a strange way because they perceive stuff that we don't perceive. They can hear stuff we don't hear. From what I've learned over the years of studying this stuff is, you know, when you're gone, you're still here. You're just vibrating at a different level. You're at a different vibrational state. And, you know, some of that leaks through, and I think the veil's getting thinner.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. As, if we take all the various types of communications or visitations or whatever you want to call it, is there one phenomenon in particular that would give you the most comfort? I mean, what would give you the most comfort, Roman, out of all these things?
Well, I think I would have to agree with the famous Victor Zammit that, you know, a physical appearance where you can actually, you know, hold and touch your discarnate is probably the best manifestation that you can probably experience. You know, it's like they're exactly there. I think I can't picture anything being stronger. But there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of other things as well that are very, very good. Like, you know, like a really strong apparition in a dream, you know, can really make people feel a lot better about the passing of their loved ones. And, you know, even like signals, electronics, you know, lights going on and off.
Yeah.
Phenomena appearing in pictures, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would agree, and a lot of people would, that a visual sighting would be the most convincing. And oddly enough, which I found surprising, I was reading the book, you know, Departed Among the Living, and Dr. Erlander Haraldson, who's one of the pioneers in this type of research, did a huge investigative study some years back. And What do you think he found is the most common type of afterlife encounter? He found just what we're talking about, 67% of all encounters with deceased involve visual experiences.
Wow.
I thought that was surprising.
And I was going to disagree with you. I was going to say, from my own perspective, of a Class A voice recording that was a good message would be a treasure, because you not only experience once, you can continue to play it back and experience it over and over again. And it's not something like you go to somebody and say, I saw my deceased loved one, and they say, okay, well, that's nice. You could say, I got a recording from my deceased. Want to hear it?
Well, that's true, because, you know, then you may question the visual sighting, whereas you have hard evidence that you can perceive with your physical senses.
How does Dr. Haraldson define the visual sighting? Is that like, you know, a person in the waking state or in the dream state or both? Or does he not discriminate?
He was with these visual experiences, he was talking about actual sightings. I think he classified dream visits differently.
Oh, separately. Wow.
Yeah, and oddly enough, you would think that most of them take place at night or in darkness. But at least half of them take place in broad daylight or with a well-lit room at night. We're going to have to get a word from our sponsors, and we'll continue this when we come back. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. And if you had a visitation or a communication you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you. When we're talking about communications, you know, the question always comes, is there a purpose to the communications? You know, is there always a message? And if there's not, you know, why does the deceased, you know, just appear? But you know, could it be that the deceased are sending a message, but just by the very fact that they're appearing? I mean, they don't have to say anything; they don't have to convey a message. I think that's a pretty strong message in and of itself, don't you think? If they make themselves appear,
it means life goes on. It's a strong signal that hey, you know, I might be gone in the physical, but we're still here. I think definitely. I think it's a very strong signal.
Yeah, and then I think there was a passage, you know, as an example of a of you know these messages. You know, I'm looking at Harrelson's book, and the person writes, "My fiance and I were talking, but I was not sure if I should marry him. Then I felt my father's presence, as if he were whispering to me, 'This is the man whom you should wed.' My father drowned when he was 42 years old. I was his only child. This experience made me happy." You know, so there are countless experiences like that where there is a specific message, you know, that goes on. And if you notice, she talked about a sense of presence, and that's another broad term. I mean, you know, it's not the literal way we think of presence. I mean, if I were to ask either of you how you would define a sense of presence, what would you say? I mean, Fran,
I would say it's like an inner feeling that, yeah. You know, like, it's almost like you know how you can sometimes perceive that you're being watched? It's probably
right.
Something similar to that, where you can feel that you're not alone. You know, there's no sense that you can define it in words. It's just really a feeling. But
right.
it is definitely real.
I think for me, I agree with you, Roman,
mm-hmm.
except they take it a step further because it is kind of like this this knowing. Like, but to me, it goes further than an immediate thing. Like you say, you walk into a room and you can sense if somebody's looking at you. Or,
mm-hmm.
But this kind of sense, for me, travels beyond me. So like if there's somebody in my house on the second floor and I'm downstairs, I can sense exactly where they are. I may or may not be able to sense who they are or if or not there is a message with it, but certainly that there is someone in the house with me and their location. So I think it goes a little, for me at least, goes
yeah.
a little beyond centering around myself.
Yeah. And you know, so lots of times the sensing presence, it doesn't come with any specific sensory experiences. I mean, you know, it doesn't necessarily come with any touch or any
nope.
Auditory thing or visual experience. But yet, these experiences can be powerful and convincing.
Yep. And you can't shake it off sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's there. You're trying to say, hey, even to yourself, depends on, it depends on what mood that you're in. If you're in a mood where you just don't want to be receptive and maybe scared or whatever, then and you try to shake it off, sometimes you can't.
Right.
And sometimes you can, you know. But most of the time, if there's a presence, they want to be known.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, you know, we talk about the frequency of these experiences, when they occur, in other words, how soon after the deceased, you know, passes on, do these occur? And we get asked a lot by Foundation members when we think it's too soon to seek a medium reading, you know, for instance.
Right.
And, I mean, I have my thoughts about that. I'm sure we may have different opinions, but you want to weigh in on that, Fran? I mean, do you think that there's any a time element involved in terms of seeking communication with a deceased loved one?
Seeking directly or with a medium or anyway?
Anywhere.
I don't think there's any restriction at all. If you're receptive and they're able to come through, I believe they will find a way to do it. And we've in the past spoke about the possibility that they too may need something like a medium on their side as well. If they're having trouble getting the message to you or communicating with you, maybe there's a medium like entity on the other side that facilitates the communication as well.
Right.
Yeah, I think one of the key things that you said, Fran, is the fact that you have to be ready. If you're not ready, I mean, if you're, let's say somebody just passes very close to you and you're very deeply in grief, you might not be at a stage where you're ready to receive any medium communication because grief, you're all closed up. You know, it depends how you react to the grief. You might open up. I think you definitely need to open up in order for those communications to take place or to facilitate those communications.
Right.
Same on the other side. They might, you know, once you're on the other side, you might need to get, you know, you might need an adjustment period as well.
Yeah, so there are several things at play. I mean, the literature is filled with classic cases of the deceased appearing to loved ones who were in the physical, and the loved ones in the physical have no idea that the person has died. And they see them, and then only later learn, you know, so that the person had died at that very time. So there's an example of how somebody that's newly deceased, when I say newly deceased, maybe only seconds or minutes, and they are able to manifest themselves or communicate in some way without any adjustment period.
Okay, so let me just throw something right in there just to interrupt you, is there's no grief yet. Roman was pointing, grief may act as a barrier.
Right,
if they're
coming
to you as soon as they're deceased and you don't know they're deceased yet, there's no level of grief to create that barrier.
Right, well, that was a point that I was going to drive to in that is, so it's not necessarily when the deceased is ready, it also comes into play when you're ready. If you're in blocked with grief, you're not ready, you know. And yet, you know, a lot of people do not believe that there's any possibility of survival.
So we are in such a materialistic world because of the way that the science is operating and was taught in the schools, and you know, it just ever since you know the Industrial Revolution, it's really become a very strong point, and we're, you know, I think a lot of discussion and a lot of things have to happen to change that because consciousness is a lot more profound than what's material.
Yeah, and interesting enough, on, you know, on that subject, in this study of 450 people that Haralton did, every ninth encounter, so basically, you know, about 10% of the encounters took place within 24 hours of the loved one passing on.
Wow!
So that's, you know, one out of 10 took place within 24 hours. So that's pretty interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking at the book Encounters at the Moment of Death when the participant was unaware of illness or mortal danger. I'm reading now. My wife and I had living with us a little girl about 2.5 years old, whom we fostered. One night I woke up and felt as though a woman were standing beside the bed. She said to me, "My name is Margaret." Then she vanished out the door. I looked at the clock and saw that it was exactly 3:30. The day after, or the same day, I learned that the girl's grandmother had died at that same moment from a heart attack at a town in another part of the country. Her name was Margaret. I knew nothing about her health. I'm not even sure I knew her name. I had never seen her when she was living. An example of what we were talking about, you know, at the moment of death.
Right.
A lot of people also question how long do you continue getting, you know, communications after somebody, you know, dies? And the survey found that about 50% of the experiences happen within 1 year after death.
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you from my personal experience, I got into this whole thing about spirituality and studying about the consciousness after my son tragically passed away 7 years ago. And I can tell you from experience that when he first transitioned, he sent a lot of signs. He did a lot of, there was a lot of flickering lights going on and off. I mean, I didn't see him in the physical. I had a few dream visitations, but a lot of signs, a lot of orbs appearing in photographs. I think I showed you one, you and Fran, you saw one that I showed you guys, a really strong one. And since then, it's really diminished. But, you know, on anniversary dates, and you know, we go when we seek a medium, and he always comes through. But I think you're right about that, that I think it diminishes over time in terms of the frequency of the spontaneous type of phenomena.
Yeah, I would agree. And certainly, even though half the experiences happen within 1 year, sometimes, you know, they come on with great frequency within the first 5 to 10 years, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think the research does show, and the anecdotal evidence, that it does, as you mentioned, wane with time.
Mm-hmm.
So although there are cases where people get communications 30, 40, 50 years later,
yep,
that, you know, it does lessen as time goes on.
Right. And I think, you know, the reason it varies is because on the other side there is no time. And what we perceive as time is really, I guess, you know, quantum physics says time is an illusion. And it's something that's man-made so that we can deal with, you know, what happened before, what happens after, what happens now. But in the other, you know, in the afterlife, there is no time. So that might be a reason why there's variations in the way that the frequency of the diminishing effects over time on this
that's
side.
That's true. You know, people in spirit also, I would imagine that there's great opportunity for growth, and there's a lot of things to do. So, you know, at the beginning, your main focus is to let your loved ones know that you still exist, to help them, you know, that they shouldn't grieve.
I believe that.
But then, you know, eventually, maybe your focus changes. I mean, you're in this other world. You're not grieving. You know you're going to see them again, and you explore, and sometimes you try to help.
I just wanted to throw in that it's all about healing. It's all about healing the world. So that when you do cross over, it's not just as simplistic as it sounds, though the most important thing to do is to get a message to the loved ones that we left behind, but it's helping them heal when you get them the message. So there's this win-win situation kind of that goes on where the person you left behind is healing and your soul is getting the benefit of having done something wonderful by helping them heal. So there's two things that go on when you cross over. Of course, you need to grow more, continue to grow on the other side. This is one of those wonderful first steps, is helping the person you left behind heal.
Right. Now, along those lines, the study found that people who suffer a sudden death, either a violent death or a death by accident, tend to come through more frequently than those who died of natural causes. What do you make of that? You think it's because the greater urgency?
I think there's a greater need to communicate that they're okay.
Yeah.
I think there's a greater need on the grievers to have that communication happen. So I would agree with that statement, and from the books that I've read, that is definitely the case, that spontaneous crossings over, for lack of a better term, really is very conducive to a lot of communications, especially in the immediate, you know, immediately following the event in the first year. So I definitely think that also when, you know, when you, if you die of old age from natural causes, chances are, you know, all your friends are dead too, right? So you can communicate, but there's nobody there to receive the communication, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, and also, you know, when we talk about all these communications, we sometimes assume that all these communications are with loved ones, but sometimes they're not. You know, sometimes they're with strangers who we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we only find out who that stranger was, you know, afterwards, you know. And there are a lot of possible reasons for that. You know, I like to think that there are, you know, these indirect bonds or conduits, you know. So somebody in spirit may be having trouble communicating with the their main focus target, so to speak.
So they
go in through the back door. They see another line of communication open, and they jump on it. You know, so
right. Because they might use somebody else just to communicate to say, yeah, there is life after death, and just that message alone, that knowing alone, will, you know, can heal the person that's grieving on this side.
Yeah. So when people see apparitions, you know, these visual sightings of the deceased, do you think that it's the deceased that are finding a way to actually materialize in physical form, or do you think that the deceased is creating some sort of sensory image in the mind of the living person, or might it be both? You got any thoughts on that?
I would think it's the latter of the two, because I think in order to, from everything that I read, in order to manifest in physical form, you need ectoplasm. And there's only a handful of mediums in the whole world that can actually produce that kind of phenomena. I think it's easier for me to swallow the fact that your perceptions can somehow be altered to change in order to have that visualization. I think that might be an easier way. Maybe there's a way to manipulate consciousness in that form, because let me tell you, we know nothing about consciousness. We know that it, you know, the more that we know, the more that we don't know. It's like any other thing. But it's just so complicated that, you know, they haven't even begun knowing that. And quantum physics and all that is proving that, you know, the consciousness actually dictates physical reality, you know, starting with the double slit experiment and everything that happens after that. So it's really, I think it's a conscious, something to do with the consciousness.
I think I'm going to agree with Roman on some level that they very likely are capable of manipulating consciousness. And if you're going to assume that all of our consciousness is connected as one grand consciousness, then it makes sense that can be facilitated. And we hear, and I know that I've personally witnessed transfiguration. So you have a room of people watching a so-called medium that's their description, allowing spirit to take over their body and change the way they appear to you physically. But maybe Roman is right, and that entity that really is not being housed within that medium that gave up the space for spirit to occupy, but instead is somehow adjusting the group of people watching, their perception of what's going on through the manipulation of consciousness.
Yeah. Well, the skeptic would say what's going on is that the people in attendance were being put into a hypnotic state, and the suggestion of this of the transfiguration is taking place, which is ludicrous. But
well, I have to share, because when I was in this room a couple of years ago, where there were two mediums, both willing to allow spirit to take over their bodies, there were about 20 to 30 people who agreed to stay in the room. There were rules if you were going to stay in and watch. You couldn't speak. You couldn't make noise. You couldn't leave the room. You had to stay for the whole time. And it was done in broad daylight. So it wasn't like anybody was under any kind of hypnotic suggestion. We just remained quiet. The medium sat in front of the room and transfigured. It was that simple.
I could have seen that. Wow. That's crazy. That's awesome.
We're going to go to a break. We come back. There's lots more to talk about. There's visitations and communications. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida, fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Hey,
and welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about communications, afterlife communications, visitations. We were talking about a lot about visual sightings. You know, people, you may call it a ghost. In this particular sense, I think when we think of a ghost, we think of something that's not interactive, just an image, whereas an apparition is something that's you think of it as a conscious entity. You know, it's a deceased making themselves appear, and you can actually interact sometimes, you know, with the person. It's common for apparitions to be seen more than once at the same location. I mean, that's interesting. I mean, do you think that spirit sometimes has an attachment, let's say, an attachment to a fondly remembered place in the physical, and that's why there are these sightings at the same place?
I've read many stories or many anecdotes, I should say, about either because of an addiction to something that's here in the physical, be it booze or cigarettes or drugs, or addiction to cars, or anything fancy, and or a favorite haunt or whatever, that they would keep coming back and not transition towards the other side or fully materialize to the other side or fully go into the spirit to the other side, I should say. Many anecdotes that way, so that might be what's happening right there.
Yeah, it's an interesting point because, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, when you enter the spirit world, all of a sudden you're this this all-knowing, all-seeing entity with unlimited access to all the knowledge in the world, and the evidence doesn't show that. You know, I mean, you're pretty much who you were initially. Yeah. So
yeah, with one extra piece of knowledge, you know.
Right.
Seriously, knowing that you survived.
You don't die. Well, even in that, a lot of people evidently refuse to accept the fact that they're still alive, or that they're dead, I should say. Because
and those are the people that you'll see haunting these places.
Yeah, and sometimes, I mean, we call it haunting, but as you said, I mean, so let's say you led a very materialistic life and you liked your,
cars.
Your fancy cars, or you liked your home, or you liked clothes, or you really enjoy drinking or gambling, you know, and so I mean, I could see how if you were able to, you know, that you would hang around and sort of live vicariously, initially at least, you know, through the by those means. So I guess that would explain,
a lot of that in Robert Monroe's first book where he talks about his OBEs, and he encounters a lot of souls that are stuck doing certain things, not knowing that they're dead, not wanting to transition or go any further because they're just enjoying so much what they're doing, but they're getting frustrated at the same time because they know that it's different. They can't feel the effects of the alcohol, you know, but they can hold the drink and put it down and everything, but they don't get the effects, so it just frustrates them.
Yeah. And you know, if you read all of these channeled reports, I mean, there are people on the other side whose purpose is to help these souls or these spirits to, you know, to progress and
even people on this side, like through the Monroe Institute, they go and they try to help these souls progress as well.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's all sorts of different terminologies for it, you know, soul retrieval and soul rescue. Things like that, but it could be we don't have any tangible evidence, but it could very well be true. You know, one of the things that people talk about or ask is that if those in the spirit world, you know, watch over us, you know, or take notice of what's happening in our lives. And to some people are somewhat spooked by this prospect, thinking that that they're an open book and everything that they do that they can private in nature is open to the spirit world. I don't think it works that way.
Absolutely not.
But I do think that people on the other side do take notice and try to guide us towards the right. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's these intuitive feelings, you know, that we talk about, where they're nudging us in one direction or the other and trying to. Sometimes it's a warning, or sometimes it's, you know, to push us towards something that would turn out to be a good thing. But I mean, I believe that. I mean, do you?
I definitely feel the same way about that, Bob. I think once you transition, there's no judgment. It's all about forgiveness, and it's all about learning, and we're here to learn. That's why we incarnated in the first place. It's like a fast track to learning. Everything is available in the spiritual. You can do anything. You can be anywhere. You can do anything that you want. But, you know, we're here to learn on an accelerated, fast pace, because there's hardships here in life. There's hardships. There's things that we get addicted to. There's things that sidetrack us. And, you know, we have what's called free will to make decisions and make our own path. And that's the adventure that we call life on Earth. And once we get out of it, I think we don't become omnipotent, but we do kind of, you know, there might be a little bit of a time where we start to remember, oh, yeah, I was here before. Okay, this is why I did this. Okay. So it's not about, you know, don't do this, don't do that, and, you know, like, don't watch me do this, don't watch me do that. It's everything's about forgiveness, because we're all there. We're all in the same boat.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes when we get these kind of warnings and guidance, it's hard to discern whether that information is coming from a discarnate source or from a living source. I was looking at a passage in Haraldson's book, and the person writes, I have often experienced things like this. Once I was on my way to town and walked to the bus stop. While I was waiting for the bus, I was suddenly touched on the shoulder, and a voice behind me said I should hurry home to my mother. I decided not to go to town and run the errand that had been on my mind. I hurried home to my mother, and when I arrived, the situation was that she had fallen on the stairs between the open steps and was hanging there. She would have fallen down and probably injured herself if she had not got the help. There was no one in the house except my sister, and she could not help my mother because she was very heavy. So, you know, that begs the question. He could have been getting that guidance from a deceased relative, or telepathically connecting to his mom who was injured, right? It's hard to tell.
Right. It is hard to tell.
Yeah.
You know, some of your communications come in the form of thought, and those are probably the hardest to tell, because you don't know if it's your thought. I mean, if it's something completely wildly different than the train of thought that you were just thinking, and then all of a sudden, why did I think of that? That might be an indication that it was a thought that was, like, implanted into your head by spirit. But what you're saying, what you just said before, is pretty common. I mean, I guess that's how the Guggenheims got into writing their book. Was it them that had their kid that was drowning in the pool?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people who think that all these encounters that we're talking about, these visitations, these dream visits, you know, these signs, they serve a purpose, that is bringing about a spiritual evolution. I know Diane Archangel talked about that the purpose of these, you know, signs, if you want to call them that, you know, or to bring about this evolution of spirit. And she says, you know, she worked, Diane worked as a hospice volunteer, and also worked in the grief world with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. But one thing she learned from hospice experience was that no one ever dies alone, because she actually, I remember reading, said that she never was with a patient, a dying patient, that didn't have, you know, a visitation. That was that common. But
right.
what I like about what she writes is that she says, pre-death encounters facilitate the dying as they make their transition to the other world. Life continuing visions help the living continue in this one. You know, so that's the key. I mean, these visions serve a purpose to those that are in the physical. if we take them for what they are, and that is, you know, communication from another person, you know. So there's something spiritual in the nature of these encounters, don't you think?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. The dying visions, you know, a lot of doctors will say, yeah, it's lack of oxygen to the brain, and that's what's creating that, and that's what's giving you the tunnel effect and all that. But really, when you think about it, what does that serve? It doesn't serve anybody or do anybody good to actually be saying stuff like that. That's just showing off how materialistic you really are. When what's actually happening with the visitations, the dying, you know, the visitations before dying, it is making that transition a lot easier for the person, because I think up until the point where you actually are dead, you're still going to have, you know, because of all the exposure to the materialistic tendencies of this earth, which is extremely physical, you're going to have some doubts, you know, even if they're in the back of your head. And this, having those apparitions right before you transition, I think is one of the most wonderful things that can happen to somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Diane said, you know, it shows that nobody dies alone. You know, what's interesting in all of these reports, you know, in these studies, the people that saw these visions, when they were asked to describe it, three-quarters of the people said that the deceased person had physically been present. In other words, they didn't describe it as a vision. They described it as
they were there.
Being there, right. Mm-hmm. Three-quarters, you know, of the people. So it shows you how, when people say it was more real than real, that's real. I mean, these visions, however it happens, whatever the mechanism is that allows the physical manifestation, you know, it's real to the perceiver. And you know, also sometimes it's not, the person doesn't see the whole body. They see a part. And most of the time it's the whole body, but sometimes it could be just the head, or it could be, you know, the upper torso. That's interesting in and of itself also, that these manifestations could be partial.
Yep. My grandmother was explaining to me back in, you know, when my grandfather died way back in 1987. I was very close to him. She said he was sitting in the kitchen. He had, you know, lung cancer that spread everywhere, so he knew his days were numbered. And right at the very end, like an hour before he died, he saw an angel just appear before his eyes right in the kitchen and said, it's time. And my grandmother saw it too. And she explained to me that that's exactly what they said. And back then, I wasn't, you know, I was more materialistic. I wasn't spiritual at all. I'm going, well, okay, that's an interesting story. But I can see now, you know, 30, 40 years later, how that really, really transpired.
Yeah. It's great when there are multiple perceivers, when there's witnesses to any, mm-hmm. not only a visual sighting, but could be, you know, an auditory thing or a smell or something unusual, physical manifestation. So, you know, when two people see it or more, you know, than two, you can't attribute it to just a
right.
coincidence, you know. So.
Right, absolutely. And there's a lot of material written on shared death experiences.
Yeah. I wanted to mention, I know we're nearing the end of time, that there are surveys on the Foundation website, and I know that there's one that's up now that we're going to be discussing in July. So I would encourage you to visit the Afterlife Science page on the Forever Family Foundation website, and there's a tab for surveys and polls. So if you want to take that survey, we'll be discussing it on a future show. Roman, thanks for joining us
tonight.
Thank
you for inviting me, Bob and Fran. Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
And we look forward to some future. We're grooming you, you know.
Anytime. It's a pleasure. I moved my band practices from Thursdays to Wednesdays, so I'm good.
Okay. Well, thanks, Roman, and thanks to everybody. And Fran's going to wrap it up.
Okay.
Take care.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind as we visualize the healing light upon Karen Gould, Stanley Mullen, Glenna Irwin, Michael Tim, David Haith, Marianne Pierushka, Donna Mello, Matt Mello, Fred Feinstein, James Rafferty, Doreen Malloy, Diane Archangel, and Joan Lipke. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
a loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.